Bava Basra, Per Gimel Mishnah Gimel 3:3. This Mishnah has a number of topics. Let's get into it one at a time. The first says that just because you've been squatting for 3 years doesn't make it yours. The 3 years of being resident and using the property without the original owner, Marakama, complaining is only a proof to your claim that you are the rightful owner. But you have to make such a claim. Without such a claim, the fact that you're there alone isn't good enough to make it yours. You're just squatting. That's what the Mishnah says here. Kol chazaka she'ini matayna, eino chazaka. Any chazaka, meaning any time a person's been there for 3 years without anybody complaining, still, if there's not a claim to legitimacy, meaning he says he is the rightful owner to this property for some reason, so then, eino chazaka, the fact that he's been there for 3 years, even 300 years, doesn't help anything. Ketzad, how's that work? For example, amarlo, ma ata ose besoch sheli. For example, if the Marakama says, what are you doing in my property? Vu amar lo, shlo amar li adam davar molam. Well, no one said anything to me. So he's not claiming he has a right to be there. He's just saying he's been there, and no one's complained up to now. And it's been, for argument's sake, more than 3 years. That is eina chazaka. That doesn't cut it. And therefore the Marakama, of course, will get it back through the Bezdin, because that's not a claim. On the other hand, if the machzik, the person who's currently been there for 3+ years, says, shemacharta li, he claims, well, you sold it to me. Or shenas... Shenasata li b'matana, where he says, you gave it to me as a gift. Avicha machrali, or your father sold it to me, or avicha nasana li b'matana, or your father gave it to me as a gift. So there you see, he is making a definitive claim to why he is entitled to fair and square to have it, even though he doesn't have the deed to prove his claim, but he's been there for 3 years, and therefore, harezu chazaka, the fact that he's there 3 years without the Marakama having complained means now we will believe him that the machzik is really the muchzik, he's a presumptive owner, unless, and the Marakama has to bring some proof to the contrary. Now, new paragraph. The rabbi said there is a potential problem here with what we just said, that an unscrupulous Marakama, if he knows that his property was sold to some fellow who died and left it to his boys. So now the boys, in many scenarios, would be unlikely to necessarily like know where the details of the original sale, right? A person can't necessarily know what his father did. Maybe they're young, maybe they're distracted, maybe whatever. And that being the case, he realizes, oh, he can go to the boys after 3 years, and just, even though they've been there for 3 years, and say, listen, you know, where's your, what are you doing on my property? And the boys can't just say, well, we've been here since our father died, and that's been 3 years. That's not good enough. They'll have to make a claim. How did you get this property? And they don't know. So they would be stuck. So therefore, there's a din derabanan which says that to protect yorshim, heirs of property, if two conditions are met, number one, that we know for a fact that the father, the one who made this bequest, who originally owned the property that these heirs are now sitting in, he lived there for at least one day. He was there for sure. And number two, these guys have been here, the heirs have been here for 3 years without contest. So then even though they can't make a definitive claim why they're entitled to it, we will believe it that they are legitimate heirs and belong there because where has this guy been for 3 years? Why didn't you raise the issue? And they can keep it. So that's what the Mishnah says here inside. Haba mishum yerusha, eno tzarich taina. If one has received a property and now gets it through a yerusha, through inheritance, he doesn't need to make a definitive taina, a definitive claim how he's entitled to it because he might not know. And he's believed as long as, again, his father did live there for at least one day, and he's been there now for 3 years without complaint. Okay, next part of the Mishnah. It's like really like a new Mishnah, a new topic here. Okay, there are going to be certain people who, even if they've been living there for 3+ years, it's not unreasonable for the Marakama to say, of course I didn't raise an objection to them being there, because everyone understood they were supposed to be there. That, not because it's theirs, but for some other reason. And that being the case, such people will not be able to establish a chazaka by being there 3 years without a complaint. So the Mishnah lists those kind of people. The first it says is ha'umanin, which I'll translate here as like contractors, right? The construction workers. So that's not how the Bartanura learns. I'll come back to the Bartanura in a moment. But the simple reading is, notwithstanding the Bartanura, we're talking about contractors here who sort of like, let's say they have a 3-year construction project going on. So for those 3 years, they're building up the farm. They're also living there. And they're also, you know, eating the produce of the farm and that kind of thing. Or whatever it is, living in the mansion as they build the mansion, whatever the case is. And after 3 years, if the Marakama will say, it's time for you to get off my property. And they say, what do you mean? This is ours. And he says, where's your deed? And they say, it's been 3 years. You didn't complain. He can say, well, of course I didn't complain because you've been hired to build my house. Like, why should I complain? You're supposed to be here, but it doesn't make it yours. Okay? And similarly, hashutafin, partners. This is specifically partners in a property which hasn't got a din chalukah, meaning the property is too small to split. So it only makes economic sense to run this property by one owner. And so then it might have been not be so crazy for the owners to take turns and say, listen, for this Shemitah cycle or these 5 years or these 3 years, you live here and you get the produce, and in 3 years' time, whatever it is, we'll switch and I will work it and I'll get their benefit. So since they're partners, one partner will say to the other partner, yeah, the reason I didn't complain for the past 3 years is because you were allowed to be here. That's plausible, given the property is small, that's what partners might do. If the property were big enough that you could divide into two halves and each partner could take a separate half and it would make economic sense, so then we wouldn't believe that claim. The third case is of a ha'arisin, an arist sharecropper. So we're not talking about a sharecropper who moves in and then the landlord doesn't complain for 3 years. That's not called a sharecropper. Sharecropper is supposed to give a share of the produce, not all the keep all the produce themselves. So that would not be plausible. But there are scenarios where sharecroppers have been around for generations on a piece, like a landowner's property, and they have like an ongoing relationship. Maybe like they function effectively as like an apotropos for the land or for the children, who knows what. And therefore, it's not crazy to say, we've been here for generations, and the reason why, and the landlord will say, I didn't raise the complaint because I said they could have it for 5 years because I don't need it, or we have a long-term relationship, or I'll come back later, or we'll make a deal in the future, or whatever the story is. That's believable if it's this long-term, multi-generational arist situation. And also vapitropin, if you're talking about a trustee or a custodian or a guardian who's there to take care of the property or the children on the property or something like that, so then it's believable that the landowner, the marakam, would say, I didn't complain because he was supposed to be there for those years because, you know, he belonged there as the custodian. All those people, ein lem chazaka, those people, by simply being there for 3 years, doesn't prove that they're the rightful owner, and that wouldn't bolster their claim. They have to have some evidence that they do belong there. Now, one point, the Bartanura learns that the word uman in here doesn't really refer to contractors who are building a piece of property, and it's a chazaka on a piece of karka, of real assets. He learns the umanim here are the usual usage of the term uman. An uman is like a craftsman. And we're talking here, talk about here in this Mishnah, with the word imanim, is we're talking about effecting a chazaka on metaltalin, on movable objects. So in other words, usually the rule is that whoever's holding the movable object, you know, he's the guy who's holding the hammer, he is presumed to be the owner of the hammer, because if not, what's your hammer doing in my hand? That's old news. But here we're saying, and the Bartender learns that the point of this Mishnah is, that if the guy holding the hammer is a carpenter, and he's doing, you know, construction work inside, you know, the Marakama's home, whatever the owner, I shouldn't say Marakama, someone's home, and someone says, give me back my hammer, and the craftsman says, what do you mean, this is my hammer? So the fact that he's holding the hammer, even holding it for 3 years, using it, doesn't make a darn difference, because maybe the original owner gave him the hammer to use, and of course, he wouldn't object to him using the hammer, because he gave it to him to use. That's what craftsmen do. So that's how the Bartanura learns the case of Umanin, and you could also, some of the other Pshatim of this list as well, could be also Metaltan, but he also would agree, everyone agrees, that but the primary topic here is making a chazaka on land, and the idea is the same thing, that if there wouldn't be a good reason for the Marakama to complain, he could say, I didn't complain for that good reason, and then therefore the burden of proof would remain on the current machzik to prove that he is rightfully entitled to stay on this land in the event that they have an argument. Now, the Mishnah transitions to a new section here. The whole notion here was that the machzik's response when he's questioned, where's your shtar, your deed that proves you purchased this property, is that, well, no one complained, so I lost track of it. It's been a long time. I didn't think I need to keep it. So anytime where there'd be no reason for the marakama who's complaining, who wants to get his field back, to have complained, so that argument doesn't hold water. So our mission here says, if you have these kinds of relatives, these kinds of situations, then there's no expectation that they should have complained, and therefore it's not such a valid response. So says the Mishnah, "Ein le'ish chazaka b'nechse ishto." Just because a husband uses his wife's property for numerous years doesn't prove that she agreed to sell it to him, even if she didn't complain, because that's what wives do. Now, when women get married, they bring two types of property into the marriage. Some is called nechse tzon barzel. Essentially, that's given to her husband in exchange for a fixed amount. So that's his property. So that's not the topic of our Mishnah. The other category is called Nechtse Malug, plucking property, usufruct property. And the idea here is the property belongs to the woman, but the husband is allowed to use it and take, you know, they collect the rent and collect the produce, etc., while they're married. Again, so therefore, there'd be no chiddush in our Mishnah. So the case of our Mishnah is something like the husband and wife got married. The husband said explicitly, maybe in the ksuba, whatever it is, I agree to not take the, you know, I'm not going to collect, you know, the harvest, the produce that grows in your field, or collect the rent that grows in your apartment. You can, excuse me, you can have it for yourself, for your own expenses. So then that was the deal. And later on, the husband ends up using the apartment or collecting the rent or collecting the harvest. So he argues, yeah, because she sold it to me. And if that was not true, why didn't she complain all these years? We had a deal. But we had a deal that he wasn't going to harvest her stuff. So this proves this is an exception to that rule. But the Mishnah is saying, the Gemara explains, that even if it's true that that wasn't the deal, and now he's sort of like overstepping bounds and harvesting what should have been hers, still, they're married. So it's likely that the wife just didn't want to raise a fuss and complicate the marriage and ruin shalom bayis, so she let it slide. Therefore, it's not a proof that she didn't complain. Similarly, says the Mishnah, a woman who harvests the property of her husband also doesn't establish a chazaka that way. Again, the thought is the husband has a responsibility to provide for his wife, so of course she's extracting value of his assets and living off of them. That's no question there. The chiddush is, even if he specifically said, you know, you're going to get all your living expenses from field A, you can, you know, extract the rent or whatever's from field A, but field B leave alone. Even if that was the deal, if later on she's, you know, harvesting field B, so that doesn't prove that he sold it to her. Could be he just said, listen, I'm letting it slide, or I changed my mind, or whatever the story, since he has an obligation to support her, so he's supporting her from field B. Therefore, her harvesting for numerous years doesn't prove that he gave it to her. And finally, v'lo la'av nichse ha'ben, v'lo la'ben b'nichse av. If you have a father and son, parent and child, whatever it is, and one depends upon the other, one is somach al shulchano, so the father is supporting his son, or the son, for that matter, is supporting his father. So then, like, each one kind of acts as like an apitropos, like a custodian for the other. In other words, my son lives, you know, lives at home. He's the one who's harvesting the field the past 5 years. What's a great mystery there? Of course, because it's my field and he's my son doing my thing. So that wouldn't be a proof that, let's say, for example, the father died and the other brothers start, you know, complaining they want their field back. The son couldn't say, well, I harvest for 5 years and no one complained. Obviously, it's mine. The wooden wash. that said, if the son wasn't someone called Shulchan HaShalav, he no longer lived at home. He was an independent person. So then it would be a chazak. It's not normal for a person to let, like, his son harvest his stuff, to the exception of the other siblings, whatever the story is, unless it really was the son. So that would be a valid claim in such a case. Now, b'medavar amurim, when does all these rules apply regarding how we figure out a legitimate, if the 3 years prove or don't prove, you know, anything, so support a claim or not support a claim? That's b'machzik. That's if you have someone who is being machazik, he's, you know, sitting in a property already, which is a question of how long he's been sitting there, and has there been complaints. But now, so now the Mishnah is going to transition to like something which is really could be a new Mishnah, and this is a little confusing. The word chazaka, as I said in the introduction to the whole chapter here, can mean numerous things. So up to now we've been using chazaka to mean presumptive ownership, but now we're transitioning. Now we're transitioning, we're saying there's another usage of the word chazaka. That's called like a chezkas, you know, for kinyan, for acquisition. So that's like the proprietary act which effects transfer for ownership. So when it comes to, you know, movable objects, the way you actually own it, take ownership is by lifting it up. When it comes to real estate, so the way you transfer ownership, meaning we agree, we have a meeting of the minds, we agree to, I will sell you my field or my apartments for $100, fine. But now, when does it become yours? Only once you do your maisa kinyan, your act which effects the transfer. So that could be with kesef, you pay off the money, or bishtar, I give you the contract, or b'chazaka, the same word. Here, chazaka means like a proprietary act that shows that this is mine. So that's also called chazaka. And the chazaka there basically boils down to doing an act which indicates it's mine, like by improving on the property, you know, putting a fence around it. You can put fence around your property if it's someone else's property, and so on. So, says the Mishnah, that's all b'machzik, if we're talking about the 3 year, up to now it's been the 3 year discussion. But aval benosin matana, if you're talking about transfer ownership by means of giving a gift, va'achin shechalku, or if two brothers are splitting a property, meaning they inherited a big field, they divide into two half fields, or va'machzik benichse hager, someone who has seized control or ownership of the property of a convert. The case here is, we're talking about it, when it comes to converts, so they're considered to be like newly born people, so to speak, legally speaking, meaning a convert who has children prior to his conversion, they're not his legal heirs according to the Torah. Only children who were born after he converted, those would be his legal heirs. So if a person is a convert and he has no family, he hasn't had no children after he converted, so there is no legal heirs, therefore when he dies, whatever's left in his estate becomes just hefker, ownerless, whoever first come, first served, and whoever gets it, if it's a field, and does a masa kinyan, does the act of the proprietor act, by showing it's his, he's the one who will be the owner. So in all those cases, you can do an act to show you're an owner, and what are the examples, says the Mishnah? Na'al v'gadar ufaratz. You do some act to improve the property, like for example, you put up a locking door, that's na'al, or v'gadar, you put a fence around it, ufaratz, and you make an access point that makes it easier to access the building, like, I don't know what the gate was skinny and you made it a wider gate, or the bars were too close together and you made them more spread apart. So there's some, you know, qualitative difference to your ability to function and use the property. Kol shehu, in any amount, and as long as it's, doesn't matter how little the improvement is, as long as it actually makes a qualitative change to the accessibility or the protection or whatever of the property, then harezu chazaka, that is an effective act, proprietary act, that successfully effects the transfer of ownership. So the point, the Mishnah, and if you want to string the two parts of the Mishnah together, the point is, the previous section we said there's no chazak when it comes to like a husband to a wife or a father to a child, but obviously if the father sells something to his child and says, child, here, put a fence around, you know, the property I'm giving to you as a gift or something, then that would be effective, of course. Now, one small point, this word na'al, to lock, literally means just to lock, like to lock the door. So the way the Bar Tanura learns, he really follows in the footsteps of the Rashbam. You know, Rashi has left us, now the Rashbam is in the Gemara for the rest of the Masechta. So he learns that simply locking the door, like with a key, isn't considered a proprietary act in any way. It's just actually a maisa mitzvah. It's an action that's a mitzvah, because if you see someone's door unlocked, like it's like the keys in his car, or the lights on in his car, you know, you're basically doing Hashava Saveda, you're saving him from loss by turning off the car or turning off the lights and so on. Same goes with leaving the door open. To lock the door is actually a requirement. It doesn't show it's yours, you're just doing a service to somebody else. So it would have to be, na'al here means it has to be like you put in a new door which locks the property or something like that. Others, however, disagree. Tosos, for example, learns that if you lock the door, that shows that you're now the new boss here and you've therefore locked it up. So that would be a success, an effective masa kinyan that would do chazaka.